Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today, why is President Trump at war in the Middle East instead of against the beast? Oh, yeah, a war in the Middle East against Iran instead of against the beast. Now, perhaps you have observed over time how war, when it begins, consumes a nation's resources and news headlines and her energies. Well, so it is with President Trump's war with Iran. Suddenly, everything else of importance, the government shutdown, the immigration crisis, and especially the war with the so-called deep state, have taken a back seat to the breathless, moment-by-moment coverage of the war on Iran. It's no coincidence. Why are we at war in the Middle East instead of against the beast? One of my early mentors taught me a maxim meant for the preacher and his preaching, and that is, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, that's a redundant way of keeping me focused on my prime directive, preach the Word of God. Do you remember President Trump's prime directive? He made as the centerpiece of his campaign the promise to dismantle the deep state once and for all, quote unquote. Dismantle the deep state once and for all. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And it did include a worthy 10-point plan to accomplish this end. And those 10 points were to fire rogue bureaucrats. Oh, I'll cheer for that all day. 2, overhaul federal agencies by firing corrupt officials. I'll go one step further, put them in jail. 3, clean up corrupt FISA courts, the same FISA courts that persecuted President Trump in his first term. 4, establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Yeah, as a prelude to prosecutions as well. 5, crack down on government leakers and fake news. 6, make inspectors general offices independent. Yes, they do whitewash rather than revelation. 7, conduct audits of intelligence agencies. How about purging of intelligence agencies? 8, move agencies away from the Washington swamp. Yeah, let's move agencies far, far away, like perhaps the IRS to Pago, right? 9, ban ex-officials from taking jobs in industries they regulated. Oh, yeah, the old revolving door problem. And then 10, pass term limits for Congress by constitutional amendment, except you won't get Congress to pass that kind of amendment. Anyway, while this is a nice tentative toe-in-the-water effort, his 10-point program, it is a 2 on the scale of 1 to 10 for dismantling the deep state once and for all. Yeah. What we call the deep state is like the cyborg in Terminator 2, who, though smashed into 1,000 pieces when struck, reassembles himself as those innumerable pieces reconstitute themselves by gravitating together and shaping themselves back into their previous state. Behold! In fact, the name that has stuck is perhaps a misnomer, that is, deep state. What we are dealing with must be properly identified if we are to defeat it. Therefore, there's 5 points I want to make with you today. First of all, 1, give it a name that denominates its nature. Oh, yes. Give the deep state a name that is true to its nature. Several other names have been applied to this phenomenon that has supplanted our constitutional republic. Sometimes it's called the administrative state. While this title is technically accurate insofar as it goes, describing how the nameless, faceless, bureaucratic system goes on and on, growing, metastasizing like a giant cancer year after year, while the so-called representatives of the people cycle in and out of government every 2 to 4 years, depending on the office, right? Technically, the administrative state composed of agencies and bureaus charged with specific functions. They are under the aegis of Congress, technically, which brought them into being. Well, these agencies and bureaus make rules that amount to laws, like those rules of the IRS or the Federal Drug Administration or the Environmental Protection Agency. But the title is a bit tame and vanilla, the administrative state, encompassing its scope and pernicious impact, right? Then we also have the intelligence community or the intelligence state, it's sometimes called. The CIA, for example, has become so skilled at overthrowing governments abroad since its inception in 1947 that they are applying those methods, the CIA is, to our own country today. Now, I have covered this extensively in other broadcasts, especially those dealing with the color revolutions around the world, and that color revolution transpiring in the United States even now. The evil predators who rule over us could not achieve this total domination without the spooks who inhabit our intelligence community. But they are not sufficient to describe the vast scope of tyranny that envelops our land and culture. Therefore, this system has grown and metastasized over the centuries to become a completely independent entity, an organism detached from any constitutional controls intended for it. And it is characterized by the absolute evil, right? And I refer you to several of our broadcasts where I discuss the nature of the color revolution being foisted upon us and its absolutely evil character. A few of those are our February 1st broadcast, which was entitled The Seven Stages of a Communist Revolution Being Implemented by Men Like Tim Walz, the Marxist of Minnesota. Now, that's a long title, but it describes the seven stages of a communist revolution. June 15th of 2025, that broadcast is The American Color Revolution, a CIA foreign tactic comes home. That's the American Color Revolution. From October 26 and November 9 of 2025, there's a two-part series called Days of Demonic Delirium, articulating the evil extant in America today. And then finally, from December 7 of 2025, the broadcast, The Evil Are Not Like You. The evil ones are not like you. Do not project your goodwill onto them. That is from the broadcast of December 7 of 2025. Now, all of these broadcasts and many, many more can be accessed at our broadcast archive located at americastruths.org. americastruths.org. So, while we may aptly name this evil beast the administrative state or the intelligence state, or its more common title by which it has come to be known, the deep state, I've come to prefer a more accurate title, and that is the Federal Dominion of Demons. The Federal Dominion of Demons. Now, there are good people in government who mean well, and they serve with honor and integrity to the best of their abilities. But those at the top especially, the further up the chain of command one goes, these are increasingly seen to be evil actors who serve another agenda altogether than that of the American Republic. Now, much of this has been exposed, of course, in the Epstein Files, which is that notorious broad rubric which encompasses the decadent, corrupt, and evil behavior that characterizes those who seize, maintain, and expand their power over the institutions of nations. It's not just here in America. Everything from the so-called honeypot trap, which is seduction by an agent with an agenda, to an old-fashioned bribe at one end of the spectrum, to child sacrifice and blood drinking and cannibalism at the extreme end of the spectrum of evil. a vast subculture, now exists and has existed for some time now, hidden and secret and evil. It is occult in the true sense of the term. Occult only means hidden. Oh, the Federal Dominion of Demons. And the Federal Dominion of Demons has a president, too, a true tyrannus, and that is the devil, Lucifer, Satan, known by other names as well, Baphomet and Baal, for example. Consequently, thanks to the unfolding revelations of the Epstein files, we can aptly call this subculture the Federal Dominion of Demons. Now that we know more accurately who we are fighting, let's be clear about why President Trump needs to be careful about the distractions in his war against the Federal Dominion of Demons. And that brings me to point 2 of 5. Number 2, war is the oxygen-rich air that the Federal Dominion of Demons breathes. War is the oxygen-rich air it breathes. If Lucifer delights in blood, death, and destruction, then war is the devil's playground. It is the devil's carnival. That has always been a commonplace truth, and it applies to this war in particular. This war promises to deliver on the promise of blood, death, and destruction. War is like oxygen to a suffocating senior for the deep state. Already, President Trump is finding that extricating himself from what he has started is going to be far more difficult than he first anticipated. He has said, "I will decide when this war is ended." Hubris, Mr. President. He has forgotten that the other parties to the war have a say in whether the war continues or halts. Israel shows no signs of relenting its attacks on Iran, and Iran herself has made it clear that she is going to retaliate for the death and destruction being rained down upon her presently. Part of that strategy is to wreck the world economy. It will be tit for tat for the destruction of Iran, and it has already begun. Select ships in the Strait of Hormuz have been hit by Iranian drones. Iranian military officials have declared that no ships to and from the West will be allowed passage through the straits. And it's obvious that the only way those straits are going to be reopened by the West is through a ground invasion with seizure of the Iranian shores of the Strait of Hormuz. Boots on the ground equals blood spilt on the ground, too, dear listener. Boots on the ground equals blood spilt on the ground. And as deaths and casualties mount, this war will become as popular with the American people as a new strain of COVID. And as of this broadcast, oil is predicted to push $200 a barrel. President Trump's Iran war directly threatens his nascent growing economic recovery. He ran on a platform of no forever wars, no new wars. He promised to focus on resuscitating the struggling economy. All of that is now threatened by the alien gestating in the chest of the American Republic, forever war. When will that fully developed alien burst out of the American chest, killing the host, and scamper off to destroy new victims, huh? In addition, this war is a demonic diversion being used by the Federal Dominion of Demons to sidetrack President Trump from his main railroad trunk line, and that is dismantling the deep state once and for all, quote unquote. In fact, it can be argued that this war is directly strengthening, the Federal Dominion of Demons. President Trump is feeding it rather than starving it. We have observed in previous broadcasts that that is precisely what the Ukraine war is accomplishing as long as it continues. As Colonel Smedley Butler cynically observed after World War I, war is a racket. War is a money-making racket. But ironically, It can also be argued that there are times when wars need to be fought. As long as Iran is ruled by Shiite Muslim mullahs who repeatedly refer to us as the great Satan and vow our destruction at their hand, well, we need to be proactive in making sure that they cannot follow through on their threats. They have already killed thousands of Americans worldwide since their seizing of power in 1979. I remember those Marines killed in their barracks in Beirut by an Iranian-sponsored truck bomber back in 1983 under Ronald Reagan. For me, it's payback time. Infamously, they have been laboring for decades to develop and produce a nuclear weapon to make good their threats. So it becomes a balancing act to wage just enough war to eliminate the threat from Iran and hopefully see the people of Iran finally having a say in who governs them without igniting World War III and plunging the world into blood, death, and destruction. President Trump needs our prayers. Pray that he can traverse that high wire with balance. But just know, dear listener, just know, this war, as necessary as it may or may not be, that's debatable, this war will consume our energies and spend our blood and treasure as long as it continues, and it will feed the beast and keep Trump from his prime directive, that is, dismantling the deep state once and for all, quote unquote. Number three, third point I want to make with you, out of five. It may be impossible to extricate the healthy from the diseased tissue. It may be impossible to extricate the healthy from the diseased tissue. Oh, if the federal dominion of demons is like a cancer, then we are in stage four of its metastasizing growth. Cutting out the tumor will kill the patient. And if the federal dominion of demons is a great blood-sucking parasite, then it is about to kill its host. Perhaps this is an overly pessimistic view of the matter, maybe, but I don't think so. While some gains have been had in scaling it back, those gains have been partial at best. President Trump's first administration was like a political CAT scan that revealed the tumor of the deep state flourishing on the body politic of America. We were able to see, as never before under Trump, what was previously hidden under the skin, so to speak, that a terrible cancer was eating away at our liberties and freedoms. But even as Trump himself admits, he was a bit naive as to how deep and entrenched the deep state actually is. So he was ineffective in dismantling it during his first administration. In fact, it can be argued that he was dismantled in the end by that same deep state, as they not only distracted him for 4 years with the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, but they also stole the 2020 election from him. President Trump is smarter and more prepared this time around. He has some very effective people in place to help him dismantle the deep state once and for all. Pete Hegseth, heading the Department of War, Marco Rubio as Secretary of State, and Robert Kennedy Jr. as Health and Human Services Secretary. They have been very effective in their respective roles. But what we have been finding is that the federal dominion of demons is a megalith rolling downhill and whose inertia manages to steamroll everything in its path. It's going to take more than a few personal changes at the top to kill the beast, the parasite sucking us dry. The deep state has been growing and flourishing for generations now, staffed with lifers who are vested in the system. An order may come down from on high, but as anyone reforming the Department of Justice is finding out, lifetime bureaucrats like Todd Blanche are there to deliberately slow roll the president's agenda and stymie any efforts to transform the department. All the deep state needs to do is blithely ignore their bosses or take half measures at reform or just wait out his administration and continue as normal once a new administration takes over in 4 years. There's been no serious effort to purge the system of these numberless, nameless, faceless bureaucrats who have been leeching off of the American Republic now for generations. What will it take? Then, dear listener, just what will it take? That brings me to point number four. Number four, the federal dominion of demons demands the system's destruction. The system must be destroyed. Perhaps radical times demand radical solutions. Will anything less than the death of the deep state, the eradication of the administrative state, will anything less than this be sufficient? And what would that look like exactly? And how would that be accomplished without bringing down the country? There really are only two options. Number one, the three branches of government must marshal the collective will to completely purge the system, to prune severely the fast-rotting plant. Now, this will take a massive shift in the American voter's frame of reference. Each voter will have to be aware of the urgency of the moment and the depth of the problem. But if that can be done and the election system is honest, that's an important qualifier there. If the election system is honest, there is a chance that that kind of radical government people required for this undertaking can be elected. Now, these radical government servants, in turn, must be intelligent, clear-eyed, well-disciplined untouchables. That is, untouchable, beyond the pale of corruption themselves. One of the reasons that the federal dominion of demons flourishes in its evil soil is because its demon horde has been bribed, bought off, and blackmailed into submission. These are the ones that have to go. Those coming in must be there to serve the American people, honest, intelligent, and committed to destroying the deep state. Or B, a power from outside rather than from inside. A power from the outside must intrude and impose by force that purging, that severe pruning that is demanded. Right now, the deep state is like a hopeless junkie who's calling out, "Stop me before I dose again." The deep state needs an intervention. It needs a stern recovery mediator to step in and seize the pipe and the syringe of bribes and buy-offs and blackmail. The federal dominion of demons needs a strong political exorcist to drive out the evil spirits of corruption and degeneracy. A power from the outside must intrude and impose by force the purging, the pruning that is demanded. We cannot expect the system to reform itself. It has, for too long, coasted on its own inertia, being fed by a naive, brainwashed American public that's lulled to sleep by full EBT cards and empty promises, both given by cynical bureaucrats and elected fraudsters like Tim Walz and Ilhan Omar. In fact, so far are they from self-reform that they fight tooth and nail whenever their fraud is exposed. They are like famished hyenas on a rotting carcass who, when disturbed, hiss and show their fangs to scare off the intruder. We will not be scared off. Too much water over the bridge now, boys. It's become increasingly obvious to every American that their government no longer serves them, but rather indulges themselves and their own interest. Time for a change, by force, if necessary. That brings me to number five. A constitutional republic must be constructed on the ashes of this deep state. America was founded as a constitutional republic. It can be refounded as one. This is what the federal dominion of demons fears the most. What they are is incompatible, antithetical to a constitutional republic. This, too, will require a Herculean labor on the part of constitutionalists across the country. Samuel Adams said, "It is imperative for a free people to be informed and virtuous, for no people will tamely surrender their liberties, nor can they easily be subdued where knowledge is diffused and virtue preserved," unquote. Behold our state. Is just the opposite of that, is it not? Unless we recover the virtue and knowledge that is requisite for a free republic, we will continue to sink under the weight of our ignorance and debauchery, dear listener. Learn about our constitutional republic. I exhort you. We have many broadcasts on our website, americastrews.org, that do inculcate principles of the Constitution. Many series on that theme. And then, once you have learned about our constitutional republic, teach what you've learned to your children and to others. Our refounding will also require a revival of America's Christian spiritual life and a reformation of her culture and her institutions. John Adams put it this way. He said, "Our Constitution was made for a moral and virtuous people. It is entirely unsuited to any other," unquote. Dear listener, our work is cut out for us. We have much work to do. So I just exhort you to be in prayer for our nation, be in prayer for yourselves. Do what you can do within your own sphere of influence to indeed inculcate the Lord Jesus Christ into the lives of the people that you love and teach constitutional principles that we might pass them along to the next generation so that when we finally do destroy the federal dominion of demons, we might have something to replace it with. And that would be indeed a constitutional republic. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet for holy worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. And you can contact us then for more information at area code 208-523-0196. 208-523-0196.